Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
The gaming sector in Asia is set for a busy next few years, with a number of new projects set to come online, offering more options in the region. But could there be too many players down the road? And what of the uncertainties and headwinds in the global economy that are impacting the sector as we speak? Joining us today on Primetime is Mr. Alex Boumajni, the Senior Director of U.S. Corporates at Fitch Ratings. And he's also joined by his counterpart, Erlin Salim, the Director for the Asia-Pacific region at Fitch, to help us look through some of these challenges that are shaping the gaming industry here in the Asia-Pacific continent and what this what the sector might look like a few years down the road. Well, Alex, let me start with you. The gaming sector in the Asia-Pacific region has been very busy and rather exciting in the last couple of years. And when business is good, that tends to lead to a lot of players rushing into space. There's a lot of projects coming online across the region in the next few years. But could this actually lead to an oversaturation of gaming options and then thus lead to a day of reckoning and, say, closures and consolidation, say, 10, 20 years down the road, should some of these uncertainties that are impacting the demand for gaming persist?
Sure. So we believe that in the APAC region, casinos and the markets remain underpenetrated for the most part. A lot of the markets have levels of exclusivity, especially in markets like Singapore, Malaysia, and even Macau has a relatively stable supply with 26 concession holders. So we think that the chances of closures or consolidation down the line are pretty minimal. We have really seen minimal closures in U.S., which is a very saturated, mature market. We've only seen a handful of closures in markets like Atlantic City and Mississippi.
All right. Alex, one of the big drivers when we look at the gaming sector here in Asia is the Chinese gamer who travels overseas and visits and patronizes some of these hallmark casinos that we see across the region also. But economic headwinds, they say, have led to Chinese gamers cutting back on discretionary spending, like, say, junkets and some of these, and especially for some of these high rollers at the VIP sections also. Will this perhaps see the wells dry up and provide some challenges or perhaps just choke some of the revenue streams that some of these trusted revenue streams that the casinos around the region have relied on?
Yeah, a lot of the markets that are overly reliant on Chinese play, especially the VIP play, have seen a lot of volatility lately. You've definitely seen that in Australia with the VIP play there down significantly. But some markets are still growing, like the Philippines and Cambodia. And you also see in Macau being pretty stable overall, given the conditions, economic conditions in China. The mass market is still underpenetrated and is still coming to casinos in higher numbers. The VIP is really the sore spot in the APAC region, and that's largely due to the uncertainty in China on the macroeconomic conditions, particularly in light of the trade wars between U.S. and China.
All right. The other big driver, though, Alex, when you look at it, is there seems to be a trend that mass gaming is starting to pick up some of the slack from these slowing or drying up VIP markets for some of the better casinos, at least, we've seen in the region. Is it fair to say that we're seeing the Asia-Pacific gaming region start to mature, perhaps move towards these evolve towards being driven more by mass gaming? And could it be argued that maybe this is the commodification of gambling or of gaming activities and gaming operations here?
You could definitely make an argument that it's hitting a new level of plateau as far as the mass market, but we still think there's still some growth ahead for the mass market. You still have a lot of infrastructure, transportation infrastructure across Greater China area that will connect the Chinese customers to Macau. You still have a lot of room supply coming online in Macau, and we generally think that Macau gross gaming revenues will grow in line with Chinese economy and consumption spending, which we expect to still be in the high single digits. So we still expect pretty strong growth in the mass market, just not to maybe to the same level we've seen over the past 10 years.
All right, Alex, you're in a very interesting position because you do have some very interesting insights on the Asian gaming sector and also looking at the U.S. and at the Western gaming operations. Also, can you describe to us the differences between the profiles of, say, casinos in the Asia Pacific versus, say, their counterparts in the West or Las Vegas? Differences and between some of the opportunities they're facing and also some of the challenges that might be unique to both to these regions.
Yeah, U.S. has gaming for decades now, especially in Las Vegas and Atlantic City, and then some other markets over the past 10, 20 years also has gaming. It's a very saturated market, really focused on slot machines, less so table games. They do care about amenities to some extent, but still focused on gaming. In Asia, it's more focused on gaming, less so on amenities. Higher propensity to gamble, more focused on table games. So it's a little different, but at the end of the day, it's all focused on gambling.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Alex Bomajny, Senior Director of U.S. Corporates and Fitch Ratings. He's joined also by Erlyn Salim, who's also his counterpart at Fitch for corporate ratings in the Asia-Pacific region. Erlyn, I want to bring you to the conversation. Earlier this year, we heard that the Singapore government was pushing for the two casinos here to try to invest more in non-gaming attractions and in a move to try to diversify themselves away from the risks of gaming, both economic and social. Do you think this was a wise move, actually, to encourage some of the gaming operations here to diversify and perhaps invest more in some of these non-gaming attractions?
Sure. We think it's kind of a natural cycle for the business as well, as we see the company will invest more into non-gaming operations, because we also believe that the non-gaming component will contribute to a more stable revenue compared to a more cyclical demand in the gaming sector. So it's going to be a good balance for the operator as well as they move forward to the long-term growth trajectory in this region.
Okay. Erlyn, I know you also take a close look specifically at Genting Singapore also, and it has been noted also that they've been more aggressive versus their local rival in terms of overseas acquisitions and, say, looking at perhaps projects out in other regions also. Do you think that Genting Singapore, though, can afford to be so ambitious in these shaky times, or do you think that, or is it really just a case that they have no choice but to try and look for some of these growth opportunities through expanding in other markets, for instance?
For Genting Singapore specifically, what they're looking after right now is the redevelopment in the Singapore resort itself, and also they're planning to expand to Japan. You're right that the group, on a consolidated level, they're also acquiring other businesses, but if we're talking about Singapore specifically, I think they're pretty focused in the Singapore local market, and that they are also better position, I would say, to also bid for the Japan casino, because they have such a good track record in developing their own resort in Singapore. And I think the drive to expand is there because we also see that it's inherent in their business, that the business itself is very capital intensive, and this is what we have always been expecting, that the business will continue to expand and need to rejuvenate their resort so that they can continue attracting more crowds to their resort.
Okay.
It's out of necessity, I would say.
Okay. And nevertheless, Genting Group, though, tends to count the ASEAN space, particularly in Malaysia and Singapore, as their bailiwick. How much upside is there really to being a bigger fish in this ASEAN pond versus some of their more global counterparts at the moment? And is this move to some of these other markets really Genting's way of trying to expand themselves outside of the ASEAN pond?
Well, I think, as we know, Asian market particularly is still, the economy is still driven by commodity. And we've seen over the past few years how the price have weakened, and therefore we've seen a trend of flat GGR. And it's also similar to Singapore. Malaysia have also invested quite a lot in the non-gaming component of the resort. And so the upside we see is that they will continue to attract more non-gaming revenue to compensate for a softer growth in the gaming revenue.
And overall, though, I'd just like to get your last words, Alex and Erlyn, on the gaming sector also. What do you think are the biggest challenges facing the gaming industry here in the Asia-Pacific region? Alex, I'd like to start with you first.
Sure. It's definitely driven by Chinese economy. So whichever way the Chinese economy goes, so will the greater APAC region as far as gross gaming revenues are concerned, that you could see that spilling over into Australia, into Singapore, and definitely into Macau. So if the economy picks up, then everybody should do okay. If not, then everybody will see some declines in earnings.
All right. And Erlen, what about from your point of view?
I think the risk for the credit particularly is that we see growing capital expenditure that they have to invest in the next few years. That for Genting specifically, we mentioned that their rating is under negative outlook because we expect the leverage to increase because of this investment. So this is what we are going to monitor closely, how they spend this CapEx and also how they, as they pursue into Japan investment as well.
All right. Alex Bumajni, Senior Director for U.S. Corporates at Fitch Ratings, and Ms. Erlen Salim, Director of Corporate Ratings for the APAC region at Fitch Ratings. I thank you so much for joining us today on Primetime and sharing your insights on the future challenges and opportunities for the gaming sector here in the Asia-Pacific region. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.